So we're in sunny Alicante and we've been training these last couple of days. And so the podcast today, let's discuss training intensity versus match intensity and what we should be looking for and what are some of the differences between them. So let's just take your training this morning, training with a World Padel Tour player on the court, obviously quite high intensity in that training. Yeah. And we've all trained in tennis and in paddle. How important is training intensity when it comes to, the practice court?
Well, that's one thing that I struggle with personally. Today, because I knew the player was better than me that I was playing with, so I upped my intensity. And I was thinking halfway through, I'm giving it my all, like my footwork's like so much more intricate than it normally is. And I was thinking, whenever I train, it needs to be like this. I can't just treat one off training session like this. Mm. And I realised there wasn't no, oh, we'll start off just messing around or anything like that. From the first volley, it was like, he was smacking it against the glass and there was no easing into it. It was, from the get-go, it was really tough.
He came for an hour's training, right? And we were there as well. I came for an hour's training and it was like intense from start to finish, really. There wasn't, like you say, any kind of slow start or messing around.
And it felt like I was in a kind of, I don't know, but it was like, I felt a lot longer than an hour because there was no breaks between the points, like the coach, next ball, obviously fixing the tips, etc. But he was focused, he was just no talking, no nothing. He was like, oh, what am I doing wrong here? The coach would tell him and then he'd get on with it straight away. It was no messing around.
I think that's one of the values as well of training with a partner as opposed to like just baskets. Like when you're in that almost game situation, your intensity picks up. I mean, you've been training in Alicante for a little while now, like, you know, over the last couple of months. How have you kind of adapted your tennis training? Because I remember tennis training with you was like always super intense. So yeah. Have you felt like you're doing the same thing with the paddle?
I think, yeah, it's about, for me anyway, and I think this is coming from professional tennis, is that you need to treat your training as intense as you would your matches. And I think that's what you were seeing today, was that you were as intense, I think, in your training today as you were in a match. And I think a lot of players treat practice as, well, there's nothing riding on this, it's not as serious, so I'm just going to kind of go through the motions. And then when I get on the match court, suddenly turn it on. But I think, you know, something that I've learned from tennis and I've tried to bring to my paddle training is that intensity, because then I know that when I go on the match court, you know, I can just sort of bank on that and then I can sort of get that out in my matches.
And in tennis, I remember that when you know, playing futures, there was a big difference, I thought, between, you know, futures, challengers and as you go up in the professionalism of the circuit, between the ones that, you know, do kind of tank their practice and play, like the higher you get up, the more professional, the more intense they train, both in training and in matches. And I think it also speaks to where we are with paddle a little bit, in that even there's quite a lot of pros that don't have like really intense training and then they try and do that in matches. But yeah. I mean, like you say, it's important to be doing both, really.
Yeah, I think that players, I think you can get away with it at a certain level. And I think that can be something that other players see, is they see other players perhaps not training that hard in practice and then they go on and win. And you start looking at those players thinking, oh, well, if they're not training hard, why would I train hard? Yeah. But I think as the level, like you say, goes up and up, I think there's going to be like fewer players that will be able to get away with not training hard. Obviously, you have the super talents that are able to do that. Mm. But I think overall that, yeah, as you say, as the game professionalises, everyone is going to have to raise their
With
level.
Everything, right? Like training on court, but nutrition, like physical training in the gym. I think all of it is going to be raised up to be, you know, more like tennis. Tennis, you'd never get away with that. And I think that it's quite good as well when you do that training, like this morning, for example, to take that intensity when you go on to a match court, because you know what it's like with matches as well. If you don't start a match in intense and then you try and get intense later on, it's really tough, right?
Absolutely. Like I've experienced that when we were playing in the World Championships recently. When I was starting off slow, it would just, I'd reach intensity by the second set. Actually, it was a good example when we played against Portugal. I was so intense in the first set. Do you remember? I was breaking your hand with a high five.
Yeah.
And then second set, I was like, oh, I've never practiced this before. So I kind of had an adrenaline dump and then didn't play as well. So
I remember that because we sat down and I said, look, like keep this intensity if you can keep it for the whole match.
Yeah.
But you, it was, and I've played with players like that before, and I've seen it a lot where it's so intense that it's very difficult to keep that over an hour and a half or 2 hour period. You end up trailing off, and in the end, that's kind of what happened in the set, was like you were exhausted from like the intensity given into every single point.
No, absolutely. I think this was a massive learning curve, because against Portugal, started off like pumped, ready for it. And then we had another match against Uruguay where I was like, oh, I don't know about this. Then I was up here, then I was down here. And because I'd never practiced that intensity in training, it was like absolutely new. I've never been in that situation, so I need to practice it more.
And I think a lot of it is like finding that what works for you, isn't it? Like, you know, me personally, I don't like to be really intense. Like, I like to be kind of calm, because I know I can keep that calmness throughout. But I mean, tennis and paddle, it's the same, really. It's like what works well for you, try that in practice and build up the fitness with that in practice so that you can then repeat on a match court.
Yeah, I think we're talking about probably something a bit separate here. We're talking about emotional stability versus physical intensity. I think they're slightly different. I think in training it's about, well, obviously I think both, you know, count in training, but I think the training intensity is more of a physical, it's can you maintain that physical level throughout the whole training. And I think the emotional stability is more, you know, handling matches, being able to do that. And obviously that's something in a practice that you probably, it's harder to practice, isn't it, because there simply isn't that same pressure.
Yeah, and it's interesting talking, you know, because they probably are separate, but at the same time they have quite a big effect on each other.
Yeah,
like when you get tired, like it's then much more difficult to control your emotions, or if you're very emotional you end up wasting a lot of energy. And so even though probably they are separate, they are, you know, both kind of very linked, and it's difficult. We talk about intensity of practice versus match. Obviously, you're going to put more impetus on a match. Like, I mean, you want to really win that match, and so that training, it will never be the same unless you can, you know, really almost put in scenarios of, you know, whether you're making bets with your training partner or something, you know, putting something on the line so there's a bit more pressure. That's one way to do it, or to find a way of just kind of calming yourself down on a match so that your training and your matches are a bit more level. I suppose it works best for you, really.
No, absolutely.
I think the closer you can make your practice to a match, the better, right? Mm. I think that's what's a good thing. And I think, interesting, you were saying about having a slow start in some matches. How much of that do you think, if you look at training, I think a lot of players come onto the training court, perhaps haven't done an intense physical warm-up, they get on the court and probably the first 5 to 10 minutes are warming up and they start very slow and they're sort of just going through the motions a bit. How much of that do you think, if you talk about having a slow start in a match, you know, surely in training, if you're the second you step on the court you're ready to go and you're intense from the word go, when you come onto a match court it's the same, right?
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it, because I feel in paddle you've got to almost take the start a bit more slowly. Like in tennis, I would have said, if you've got an aggressive game, you try and, you know, bring the momentum at the beginning of the match and you start really intense. But I think in paddle, you've got to kind of play your way in. Like it's got to be, you know, control. And you see that at the beginning of the matches, they go for, you know, big margins on their shots. They play lots of balls. They hit lots of lobs. And at the beginning, it's almost playing your way into a match so that you can kind of continue to raise that intensity as the match goes on. Well, that's what I'm seeing in the higher level matches.
No, yeah, absolutely. And one thing I've noticed when I was watching the high elite players is, especially when they're warming up, they're not missing a ball because they want to get into that intense rhythm that they'll be in the match. So when they're warming up, everything's in. And you can see, as you mentioned, at the start of the match, they're playing for the bigger margins, but then as it gets closer towards the end of the match, they're playing a lot safer, etc.
So, I mean, if we were going to take this down to a recreational level, because we're talking about pro level now, right? But if you talk about, you know, the club matches and people playing, you know, with their friends socially, and we see that a lot where they'll be working during the day, they'll rush from work and they'll come straight onto match court and they'll not have that intensity at the start. It's how can players get that into their game, you know, socially, if they're playing 3 or 4 matches a week and they're no less important. I mean, for the people playing, they really want to win. You know, how can they kind of approach that intensity in those games, do you think?
I think one thing they could do, obviously if you're rushing from work and you don't have the time, I think it's difficult. But I think if you can create a routine for yourself where if you have a match, get to the courts 15-20 minutes early, do a good physical warm-up and focus on a few things that you want to achieve in that game and have those goals. And then I think you have that focus and you come onto the court knowing what you want to work on and having that, yeah, like I say, that focus to then start the match or start the training how you want to do it.
And even 5 or 10 minutes is enough, right? Like, it's just a little bit of time for yourself to take a breath, like, kind of calm yourself down, like, start thinking now towards the match. So many people are going onto the match court thinking about their day and what's happened and everything like that. I think this also speaks to recreational players kind of doing more training. It feels like, you know, there's always court bookings and they go straight down and they have a 3-minute warm-up, having not done an off-court warm-up, and then go straight into points. How important is it, I mean, the players that you see at the club, how important is it for them to be training as well as just playing matches?
Well, of course, everyone loves to be competitive. They'd rather play a match all the time because it's more fun, isn't it? So I would say if you're playing 2 to 3 times a week, for the long run, I would say just change one of those sessions just for a training session, just so you can experience different shots, because once you get in your way, it's very hard to get out of that. And if you learn the right technique, etc., it benefits you so much more. So if you can exchange one of those match sessions for training sessions, even if it's not with a coach, even if it's just 3 or 4 of you doing some drills you can find online, it will help you with your consistency and your knowledge of paddle, and as a result, when you go to play those training matches that you really want to win, you'll see the whole level rises.
Online at the paddle school, that's what you're going to say,
exactly.
Wasn't it? Yeah. No, but I mean, that's one way to do it. And I think another way to do it is to say, if you're playing 3 times a week, you could either change one to a training session, or just say, right, guys, let's do the first 10 to 15 minutes training and then play 2 sets afterwards, for example. Like, I think just to go in, like you say, to practice some techniques, to get some intensity with, you know, some conditioning drills, things like that. I think, you know, then it allows people time to practice, because that's always the excuse that we hear from people is that, well, I don't have any practice time. I'm only playing matches and I really want to win. So then it's like, it's difficult then to perfect your bandeja in that situation.
Yeah, and I think when players are just going down to play matches, I think that they don't perhaps value, you know, doing the warm-up. Maybe the people they're playing with aren't necessarily doing it either, so they don't put that time aside to get that preparation in. They just come down, everyone's there, it's social, right? So you go down, yeah. But if you can understand how important it is to make a bit of time before, like you say, get that focus, do a physical warm-up, go in really clear on what you want to achieve from the session, even if it is a match, I think making that time will help a lot of players as well.
Yeah, and even the intensity of the warm-up.
Yeah.
You know, so often we see the most casual warm-up and then they'll start a match and they'll be like, oh, I just couldn't get going. Yeah. You say, well, you had 5 minutes on court. Like, we're always talking about using that time to analyse your opponents and to, you know, get a feel on the ball. Also use it to get your intensity up and do some, you know, a little bit of training there. Like, you know, use every second you can, I think. Okay, so our favourite time of the podcast, obviously, underrated, overrated. And if we look at underrated, overrated for training or matches...
Well, personally, I think an underrated aspect of the game is what you do outside of your court time. So, like we mentioned previously, is turning up perhaps 10, 15 minutes earlier, warming up properly, get moving, get the blood flowing, foam rolling maybe, but really preparing yourself so you're not wasting any time once you're in the court and there's nothing, you're not starting with low intensity. And likewise, post-match, is when you're cooling down properly, so you don't then have any niggles or anything when you're going into the next match saying, oh, last match was, I've got an injury here and there.
Yeah, and I think this is, at the pro level, they know that the difference between their matches is mental and physical. It's not technique, and they all know the tactics. So it's really like, you know, those are the gaps that separate at that top level. And so if you can make a difference by having, you know, a really good warm-up and preparation, both physically and mentally, and you can, you know, have that same afterwards for the following day or game. Like, I feel like that makes such a huge difference.
Yeah, especially post-match, like you were saying as well. Like, that reflection time is really, really important, because I don't know about you guys, but once I've come off the court, I know exactly what I think I should have worked on. But in about an hour, I've forgotten what that was. And I think that's a really important time. So if you've got a journal or something, to note that down, like 2 or 3 things, like, it doesn't have to be a lot, but this is what happened in the match, this is what I can improve next time. And it just means that you can build that up. If you think if you do that after every time you're on court.
I feel like there's a balance there though, because I think if you come straight off court, you'll either, you know, really frustrated and you'll be like, oh my God, all of this was all wrong. Yeah. So I think you need a little bit of time, like 10 or 15 minutes, just to kind of take and look at it a little bit more objectively and then be like, right, you know, because if you came straight off, you'd be like, oh, I missed all my bandekas.
Scribbling it down.
But actually, if you think about it, you'd be like, no, I didn't miss all of them. I missed one or two at key times. But yeah, absolutely. You don't want to leave it for hours or the next day, because then you've kind of forgotten some important parts of it. So yeah, I would agree with that.
Well, one thing I did when I was playing my first tournaments, whenever I'd lose a match, I'd wait about 20, 25 minutes, and I would actually go and ask my opponents. And I, because when you're playing a match, you're most likely playing with friends or people you know. So I'd go and say, look, honestly, what did you feel from my end of the match? Did you think that, for example, I was leaving too much space, or I wasn't spinning the ball, for example? And that is, I feel, the truest reflection, because you're not biased towards yourself, and these guys are thinking, okay, honestly about you. So I feel that that's
definitely
really...
amateur, like recreational level, I think that's a great way to do it. Yeah, absolutely.
Really good, yeah.
Any other underrated?
I've got an underrated. Yeah, we talked about it. We talked about it earlier. I think, like we were saying, I think it's underrated in training not to try and recreate those pressured situations that you're going to face in a match. Because we talked about how it's difficult, isn't it, in training to have the same pressures in a match. But like we said, if you can put in competitive situations, even if it's something fun, like you say, okay, the winners of this, you know, don't have to buy the drinks afterwards, you know, so the losers buy the drinks. Yeah. Like something, even something as small as that can actually create that competitive and that pressure.
Well, it gets that focus, doesn't it? Yeah. It kind of makes you focused. It gets a little bit of kind of pressure intensity on you, and that's going a step to replicating a match. And the more you put on it, the more drinks you put on that, the more pressure there is on it.
And I think genuinely, if you do that often, you'll come into a match and you'll feel those same pressures and you'll be able to deal with it better.
Absolutely.
What are you gonna do?
Overrated. Yeah, I'll do an overrated.
Okay.
For me, overrated is and this is dependent obviously on the players and the level, but it is the result. I feel like so many players put, you know, huge stock in this result. And we talk to a lot of our students online and they say, yeah, but I really want to win that match. And then you say, okay, well, is it important? They said, well, no, I play my friends three times a week, but I want to win every single time. And I've been playing them for like 3 years. So not every single one of those matches is super important. You know, they could have taken a percentage of those and said, right, I'm going to really work on this part of my game and not worry too much about the result. And then use that time to focus. And it's a little bit like the same in tennis, same in all sports, is, and particularly with juniors, is like, if you're playing a lot of matches, it's almost putting the importance of that match into perspective.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the end all, you know, the be all or end all. So there's no point in putting that pressure on yourself during the match saying you absolutely have to win this, because a lot of the time you've got another tournament the next week and, you know, you're still growing in your game. You're on a paddle journey. So use this as a step in the journey, as opposed to, you know, putting so much pressure on yourself. That for me is a big overrated.
Yeah, it's easy to just go match to match, isn't it? And I was speaking to a student the other day as well, and they were saying that their goal is to get a certain score against, you know, an opponent. I think that's having that as your outcome is really difficult. You need to try and focus on the process and not because the person might have an absolute blinder, play really, really well, and then you're going away from the court thinking, oh, maybe I've got worse.
Yeah. And so an example of that process might be, you know, to feel, to improve your confidence with your bandeja, or to you know, put pressure on them in the corner. Something that is, well, like you say, not result-based. It's not outcome-based.
Yeah.
So one more overrated for us, Nick?
Well, I actually have an underrated, which I experienced personally myself. And it's the emotions surrounding you and your partner playing together. And if you don't feel like you're playing your best paddle.
Letting them down, right?
Yeah, like, exactly.
This is huge. Like, I feel like players rarely talk about it, and it's, you know, players feel it all the time. And I know with playing with a partner, you almost don't say anything and you bottle it up, and at the end there's always like, sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And it's the players that go, you know, are always apologising, and you're like, don't be sorry. Like, I know you're not making mistakes on purpose, you know, and also I haven't even noticed, you know, you feel like you're letting me down, but I haven't even noticed. Like, I think you're playing great. And it's having that conversation, I feel like, it's really important. It is a doubles game. It's a team sport. So, I think that's probably a good one.
I think as well, it actually brings a partnership probably together more if once you do, because it's probably you're both thinking or feeling the same thing.
Yeah.
But when you both, you're not saying it, and then suddenly you do, and you go, oh, do you know what? I was feeling exactly the same thing. And then actually it brings you probably closer together.
Yeah, yeah. And you play better together after that.
Yeah, because it's like it just gets it off your chest and immediately you relax, don't you? Yeah. Even when you've said it and they go, don't be silly, like, what are you talking about? Like, then you're like, oh, okay, like, I can now kind of play my paddle and now I focus on my paddle. And maybe it's just an initial conversation to get that started. So our community question this week is, what should our ratio be between matches and training?
I think that really depends on what the goals of the player are. I think it depends. Are they recreational beginner level to start with? Are they intermediate or advanced and they have a tournament schedule? I think it very much depends on the player.
Yeah, and I think it's important to have a mix, you know, a healthy mix of both. And like you say, it depends. At a higher level, it depends on the time in the season and what's going on, you know, whether they're in the middle of their match season or if they're in the off season. And then right the way down to beginner level, it's, you know, are they trying to learn the game? And if they're trying to learn techniques and tactics, it's really tough to only do that in matches. You know, that training time is almost more significant.
Yeah. No, I think as a beginner, it's like you say, it really depends, doesn't it? But I think as a beginner, if you're learning the game, we've always said this, getting lessons, learning the technique, I think is really, really important before you go and play matches. But then I think it really does depend on what the goals of the player are. If the player has mastered the basics and they're now started to compete more, maybe you do go through a patch of playing more matches and understanding more of the tactical elements of the game. But I think there's always, like you say, I think you should always have a mix of both.
I think also it's difficult because you and I have a bit of a different background to Nick in that we came to paddle and probably have already played thousands of matches, of which a lot of pressure matches. And I feel like in paddle, for those that haven't done that, there's a temptation to just train and not play those tournaments and not put yourself in those pressure situations. I don't know how you feel with that.
No, absolutely. It's dependent on your personal background. For example, like you mentioned, you've played loads of competitive matches. With me, on the other hand, I've never had a pressure on me kind of situation. So I need to definitely, and I've been told so many times, I've got to go and put myself in these pressure situations. So for me, I think my ratio would be more in favour of the matches instead of the training. I've trained hours and hours, but you can never replicate that pressure sick scenario.
And this is where it's so individual, isn't it? Like, you've got to work out what's best for you, speak to your coach, speak to, you know, the team at the club and make a decision for you. Well, thank you guys, that was an absolute pleasure.
Thank you, Sani. Nice setting.
Oh, beautiful setting. Yeah, you'll see a lot of our videos on this court.
Yeah.